this whole filmmaking thing doesn't work out, David Fincher could always just videotape weddings. I think he's got a long, illustrious career just waiting around the corner as a wedding videographer.
He and George R.R. Martin have a long career ahead of them as wedding planners and photographers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, hey, everybody, this is the highly suspect review of David Fincher's Gone Baby Girl Gone. No, wait, no, that's
no,
not right.
No, no, that would be if Ben Affleck had directed it.
Yeah, I'm so confused. Because Ben Affleck directed a movie called Gone Baby Gone, and now he's in a David Fincher movie called Gone Girl. So, but we're reviewing Gone Girl.
They really do take the baby out of this one, though.
Yeah, oh my God. Drown the baby with the bathwater, I think, is the...
Drown the baby in the pint of blood you've been storing for special occasions.
Blood and tears. This is not a happy-go-lucky film, but this is Brian.
Yes, Bo.
And we sat through this. No, I'm not... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is a bad movie.
Not at all.
I'm saying that this is a turn of every screw that has ever been sold at Home Depot over the last year.
This will fuck your mind, buddy.
Oh my God. So I don't... Okay, guys, I'm going to tell you this right off the bat. There is absolutely, positively, no way to talk about this movie without spoiling it. Because the themes of this movie, what Fincher is really tapping into, you don't really find out until the very end of the film.
So I will just say... This is a good movie.
It's very
good. It's a really good movie. If you like the movie Le Diabolique, and if you haven't seen that movie, you should watch it.
You should, because Clouseau is awesome.
Not
the Clouseau one?
Not who these people are thinking of, the director guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But if that turns out to be your meat, man, go see this too fucking sweet, because you'll enjoy the hell out of it.
Great performances, brilliant direction, wonderful cinematography. That is as far as we are going to go without spoilers.
Yeah, stop, go watch the movie.
Go watch the movie and come back. You're going to see it. This is the new David Fincher. I mean, who the hell isn't going to see the new David Fincher, first of all? But you have been warned to the high heavens, so if you complain about spoilers in the comment sections, you're officially a moron, because we're going to start spoiling this. This is a film that is not satisfied with the idea of a singular twist, because under a normal thriller structure, what would happen in the third act happens about 15 minutes in. And then, okay, so the basic plot here is that Ben Affleck plays a guy who falls in love with a woman played by...
Rosamund Pike. Who's... She's done a couple of things. She's a British actress.
The World's End, most recently.
She's also in Hector and the Search for Happiness. And thankfully, you don't have to go see that movie because you can see her do a really great job in this. But, man, her roles in those two are night and day. British actress, boy, quite defined, even though she's been around.
Well,
this movie's going to get people talking about it.
This could also be argued to be a search for happiness if there is absolutely no hope of finding it ever.
If you are a total fucking psychopath and psychopaths somehow could feel feelings.
You know, romantic comedies tend to treat love as this sort of ethereal, like higher state of being that everyone is trying to achieve. David Fincher seems to think of love more as like the myth of Sisyphus.
Which is funny because like they delve into the couple's past as Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike, and they have like the perfect meet cute. They you know the beautiful scenes of you know running around in New York and just you know incredibly romantic. And you watch it and you're just like, they even say to each other at one point, they're like, "We're adorable. I want to hit me." And you're like, yes I do. You remind me of every happy couple I've ever seen.
Right. And then things go bad because she disappears. And as the police investigated, as Ben Affleck is like, we got to find my wife, more and more evidence seems to point to him having killed her. And of course, it starts to be about the media hype and the national scandal.
It's a great deconstruction of the Nancy Grace show.
Oh my God, Nancy Grace, you fucking bitch.
She finally gets the screws turned on her by the girl who played the hot alien chick in Galaxy Quest.
Thank you, Missy Pyle, for making Nancy Grace look like such a bitch. But that's like, okay, so the first twist here is that, yes, she is in fact still alive and has planned this whole thing.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, that's a hell of a twist. But there's still like an hour and a half left to go. Where is this going?
You're looking at your watch because, I mean, literally, she's driving off into the sunset saying, this is how I fucking did it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow. And at first, you're like, well, that guy was kind of a bastard. And you know, maybe he's getting his just desserts. And then she's like, you know, like halfway into the sunset, and she's like, and now I'm going to kill myself so they'll find my body and he'll get the death penalty. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it is revealed that Ben Affleck was cheating on her. So, I mean, there is a certain.
But it was with Emily Ratajkowski, and who fucking wouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, there is that. But it's like, you do. What's weird about this movie is that, much like the media that is portrayed in the film, it does ask you to switch your allegiances around a lot. Because
it doesn't ask you.
It forces you to, at gunpoint.
To ties you up, puts you on a leash, kicks you in the balls. Has you waken up out of a morphine coma on a couch in Tijuana.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but like, the further along we spend more time with her, we realize, no, we shouldn't be rooting for this woman.
There's more than
at
few
all.
Screws loose here.
Yeah, there's those screws that haven't been turned are
and
fully
then you're
loose.
You're like, oh, wow, Ben Affleck was, you know, he's mildly narcissistic. And, you know, he's a little bit of a prick, but no more than most people that walk the face of the earth. And she's just like, wow.
As we begin to peel the layers of the dark, sinister onion that is Rosamund Pike's character, we realize two things. One, you know, Judd Apatow isn't the one with the darkest views on marriage working them out on screen.
Dude, I'm telling you what, man. I love this movie. I highly recommend it. But there's some points where it becomes a little bit problematic and almost tips over totally into like, oh, wow, this is a neckbeard fedora fantasy of some guy who thinks that all bitches are like this. And it's like, if you can keep reminding yourself, like, no, she's actually psychotic. She's not a representation of anything.
No, not at all.
Fucking psychotic. Then you're good.
I will. But the other thing we realize is that it was better for everyone when the antagonists in David Fincher movies just cut people's heads off. Like, when they were nice enough to just cut the head off quick and be done with it.
You're in the middle of this, you know, very nice suburban home. You know, in you know, a suburb of St. Louis, and you find yourself going like, can't we go into a damp, dank basement with a dead fat guy in it so I can feel comfortable?
And that's kind of the brilliance of this movie, is you're watching it like, you know, just from color palette alone, this seems like his brightest and chipperest film.
It totally is.
And then you start sinking into the metaphorical meat of it and the story elements, and you're like, oh my god, this is the darkest movie he's ever put together.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo looks like the girl you bring home to mom and take to the prom because she's so, you know, upbeat and punky. Like, this is the darkest thing I think I've ever seen, and it's so playfully hidden under layers of suburban bliss and sort of, you know, the whitest couple you've ever seen on screen. I mean, they are super waspy, and then they get real, like, bitter, like just angry, ugly people.
And there is some point, like, I laughed a lot in this movie, and it was the nervous tittering of somebody who's about to have something horrible happen to
them. True.
But there are definitely amusing moments here, and in a way, you almost find yourself, you know, rooting for the person to turn the knife a little bit more, the same way you'd root for, like, a Sith Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It wasn't so much that it was funny as the pressure was building up so much that when they released it just a little bit, just the slightest turn of the valve, we just let loose with the oh god, please make it stop. We're so scared. Yeah. What's going on?
When she starts just really letting go with the you know, towards the end there, she's practically Bugs Bunny of the evil psychopathic manipulator.
Wow, I will never be able to watch Bugs Bunny cartoons the same way again.
What's up, Doc?
But it's just like, it is the most cynical portrayal of not just their marriage, but the institution of marriage in general. It is kind of painting marriage not as this, you know, this end result of love and the place that everyone's trying to get to. It's more like a mutually assured destruction, Stockholm syndrome, place of despair.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the Cold War at home.
And, yes.
You know, it's just like, you thought it was grim when it was a hot war, and then you realize that, oh man, this is like one of the most abusive relationships I've ever seen, and nobody's getting hit.
Yeah, when they're smiling the widest is when, you know, behind the closed doors, they're psychologically torturing each other the most. And it is just, it's brutal to watch, but yeah, as we've mentioned, there are moments where you find yourself kind of inexplicably laughing, and I think it really is just because you don't know what else to do. And yet through all of it, there's not one, to me, there wasn't a missed note. There wasn't a note of exploitation or taking things too far. It was walking right along the razor's edge.
There's a lot of discomfort here, but you're so fascinated with watching the process fold out.
Yes.
That you know, you're glued to your seat.
Absolutely. And the performances, you know, Ben Affleck, I think, strikes most people as exactly the character he's playing in this movie. Because the character he's playing in this movie, at the beginning, when it's he doesn't know what's going on, his wife has disappeared, he's just aloof enough that you're kind of frustrated with him. Even if you don't believe he actually killed her, you're like, dude, you're like, look like you care, emote a little bit more, and get into this story. And I think about halfway through, I was like, I think Fincher's making a comment on how people see Ben Affleck as a performer. Because he is kind of...
Arguably so.
He strikes people in his community with his aloofness the same way I think he strikes most audience members.
And he does, you know, he does a really amazing job here. And yeah, I think it's, you know, he's going through his own kind of reconnaissance here for the last couple of years.
Sure.
And he was just like, okay, I'm going to step away from the acting for a bit, do some directing, directed some really good movies. And he was like, oh, no, I'm going to, you know, direct a movie, but I'm going to step out in front of the camera too. And now, you know, he's doing a great job in a Fincher-helmed vehicle. You know, it's just like, bring on the fucking Batman. Right on.
Absolutely. If the Batman story is this dark, I think I'll have to have Alan Moore call and like sing to me to make me feel better.
The only way the Batman versus Superman could be this target is if it is literally just about the Justice League going out and like killing every hobo in America.
Yeah. If you thought the Joker was able to staple a smile back to his face, wait till you see Ben Affleck at the end of this movie. He's basically doing the same thing. Ooh. Just ka-chunk, ka-chunk, everything is fine. Oh my God. It is gut-wrenching in a way that I was not expecting, in a way that you won't be expecting from the very beginning. And like I said, if you're still listening to this, obviously we've spoiled a lot of things, but the meat of this movie really is when you get to the end and you realize that the statement that Fincher is making about marriage and how it's not this, it's not always this sweet romantic thing.
The opening line of the film and the closing line of the film are just, they're incredible, and you realize the journey that you've been through, and it's a head smack moment.
Yeah.
It's just, it's awesome.
It is. It's an incredible piece of filmmaking. It really does take, you know, and the other thing that's really impressive about it is how much it does play with expectations and manipulate the sort of formulaic writing of thrillers.
Oh yeah.
Like this thing does not want to be ordinary at any turn, and yet it puts on this mask for a while of like, oh yeah, this is a totally ordinary disappearance thriller, and then it completely sideswipes you.
That's why I said, you know, the thing that really, you know, the only thing I in the canon that immediately leapt to mind was Le Diabolique, because you know, it's the same way throughout that entire movie. You're like, well, what the fuck is going on, and why aren't any of these tropes playing out the way that they're fucking supposed to?
Yeah, there is no innocence. There are no victims. It's just the really bleak and ugly side of every human being, and the capacity of every human being to just be awful to one another and to be narcissistic to the point of ruining life. Like, oh my God, is it bleak? Man. Oh my God, is this a bleak film?
Big Hero 6 can't come out fast enough. I need something to wash my brain in.
Yeah, and I will say this only because I think it will affect my opinion of this film. Is like, you know, we're sitting here recording. We just watched this. It's like, it's my 30th birthday in the year that the bottom completely fell out of my own marriage, and I feel like David Fincher wrote this movie for me. Like, I was sitting there just like, holy crap, the whole idea
this was his buck up, right? Things aren't so bad.
At least it's not this bad, but the whole idea of marriage being like this elaborate con game where nobody really says what they feel and everyone's got their own agenda, and it's just like, man, Fincher, like, you need to get the fuck out of my head immediately, because I think we're going to find too much in common up there, and that's what really scares me. But, you know, like I said, I only mention that because I think it's one of those full disclosure moments. Like, yeah, this movie hit me especially hard considering what's going on in my own life, and I really do love the fact that I saw it on my 30th birthday. It's just like, well, guess I'll jump off a bridge now. Like, don't know what else to do. Thanks, David Fincher. But that being said, it's a brilliant film. It is wonderfully acted, and I think before we end up having a suicide party right here in the living room, maybe we should just go to final thoughts.
You know, obviously, you know, this has been a much anticipated film, and a well worth the wait. It's, you know, Fincher back at his A game again after, you know, a couple of okay tries. You know, the cast here is amazing. There's some really fresh finds. Man, Tyler Perry knocked it out of the park in this
surprisingly
movie. Just did a great job. Some really amazing strong female roles. You know, obviously Rosamund Pike doing an amazing job of keeping everyone on their toes.
Yeah, for sure.
But Coon, who plays Ben Affleck's twin sister, the woman who plays the police detective, you know, even what's her face, who plays Nancy Grace, just
Missy Pyle, yeah,
and Celia Ward playing another journalist. So some just really, really fine work there, and yeah, this is like an amazing treatise on this, you know, the overweening narcissism that so many people, sadly enough, go into their marriages with, and just it takes it to fucking nuclear catastrophe proportions, and it's a very, very gripping ride. I definitely, man, I'm gonna go ahead and give this a 10 hastily abandoned engagement rings.
Wow. I will warn you this immediately. This is the anti-date movie. Do not take a date, male or female, whichever, it doesn't matter. Just don't take any dates to this movie, because you will both walk out of there going, so we're doomed, I guess, is what we've learned from this. I you know, this is just...
Either that, or you'll look into each other's eyes and say, well, how bad can it get now?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's that side of the coin, too, where it's like, at least that's not going to happen to us, right? Right? What are you doing with that axe? Put it down. What's going on? What do you need my blood for? Yeah, no, it's a brilliant film. It's absolutely masterfully constructed in a way that kind of reminds me a little bit of The Game, like where Fincher convinced you that you had, that the twist had been revealed and then was good and just kept twisting. You know, it's very much, it's a corkscrew. It's not a twist, it's a corkscrew. And like I said, all the performances are great. Ben Affleck, if this is not him kind of nodding at kind of the reaction that people have had to him, it's at the very least the perfect role for him. Yeah. If every criticism lobbed against him is completely accurate, this is the perfect role for him then. So everything worked for me. And like I said, it just, there's a sort of zeitgeist bonus to it as well. So I think I'm going to honestly, like, for lack of finding a single thing that I had a problem with in this movie, like even its runtime, which is substantial, I just kept wanting to know more. I kept wanting to see where this goes, and it is going to end in a way that's going to make you uncomfortable, as the whole movie has made you uncomfortable. So I am going to give this 10 out of 10 decoratively wrapped boxes from David Fincher that you definitely should not fucking open. Oh my God. Let's just date each other. I think that would be easier.
I've already got enough heads in boxes.
Fair enough.